Guide us on our path. Bring us to the Christ child as we worship you, O God.
Bring us to love, bring us together.
Guide us into light, where love replaces hate. Journey with us in worship this day as we worship you this morning. Let us worship God. I'd like to invite the children to come on up. Max, Mia, Maddie, Caleb, you want to come up? See what I have here? Look what I have. There's a baby. You see the baby? Got a baby up here. You want to see? Look. We're going to pretend. Do you ever pretend? Sometimes, yeah? So look, let's pretend for a minute. That's baby Jesus. There's baby Jesus sleeping, very quiet. And do you know what happens today, what we celebrate? Today we celebrate, like the song we just sang, about wise men who come from far, far away to see the baby Jesus. And they bring him presents. They bring him gold and frankincense and myrrh. And those were gifts that people brought to a king. And I thought it'd be really fun to pretend that we're those guys. You wanna? Who wants to bring the gold? Who wants to give baby Jesus the gold? Raise your hand. You do? Okay, you go. Who wants to bring baby Jesus frankincense, which is a nice smelling thing, and then myrrh, which is an oil that they would anoint people with? You wanna do that? You know, we need something else, Caleb, don't worry. And then Caleb, do you wanna give baby Jesus a really pretty cup? Really? Now, it's really heavy. It's really silvery. So special. You want to give that to the baby? You get to hold it. Go ahead. There you go. So we're going to go ahead, and we're going to go pretend. We're going to go in the back here, and we're going to pretend to travel. So follow me. Come on. Here we go. Here we go. Go on. I have a really long sermon today. We got to move quickly. Go on. Here we go. Ready? So now we're going to pretend that we start here, and we see a star. Let's pretend. Where do you think the star is? Can you see it? What about that thing way up there? You see that?
The window,
yeah. So here we are, and we know that that star means that's where the baby Jesus is. So we're traveling on our camels, and we're traveling, and we're traveling. Let's go see the baby. Let's go see the baby. Now you go ahead and put your presents in with the baby. Go ahead, give your presents to the baby. Put him right inside with... Go ahead, right in there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There you go. Caleb, you want to put that right in there? There you go. Perfect. That's perfect. Thank you. And all the people said, amen. Boys and girls, you may go with Francesca now. And you're going to make Epiphany stars. Gonna be so fun. Please join me in the prayer of wholeness and healing as printed in your bulletin. God of the stars, we search for your light, but at times we search in vain. In the luxury of the luxurious, we buy, we obtain, and collect the things that last but an hour, a day, maybe a year. Remind us that in stargazing, we gaze upon the infinite. In pondering, we ponder on life eternal. Help us to know that in searching for you, we lose ourselves to love. We walk not in darkness, but in your light. So blinding, we see not with our eyes, but with a deep sense of the stardust that makes up you and us together as one. Amen. We continue now in silence. Whole people of God, hear this. You are loved as abundantly as there are stars in the sky, as warmly as the sun, as fully as the moon at its fullest, as brightly as the brightest of stars combined. That love is given to you freely and unearned. Embrace it, take it, let it warm your entire being so that you may share that light and grace with others. Amen.
Thank you. The Old Testament lesson today is from Isaiah 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. And those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered to you. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister to you. They shall be acceptable on my altar, and I will glorify my glorious house. Who are these that fly like a cloud and like doves to their windows? For the coastlands shall wait for me, the ships of Tarshish first, to bring your children from far away, their silver and gold with them, for the name of the Lord your God and for the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified you. The New Testament is from Matthew, book 2, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star in its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler, who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen in its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of God.
Thanks be to God. For the people of God. Thank you, David. I wasn't kidding when I said I have an extra long sermon, so I hope that none of you have plans until dinner. Dominic, can you turn my mic up just a little bit? Thank you. Please join me in prayer. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today is the Sunday that we celebrate the Epiphany of the Lord, which actually happens on Wednesday. So if you've been paying attention to the lectionary, you know that we began in Advent by following the Gospel of Luke, but today we switch over to Matthew, because Matthew is the one who mentions this part of the nativity story that we've grown so accustomed to, complete with shepherds and wise men. You actually have to combine both Gospels to get the full story. Mark has no birth story at all. The wise men are also translated magi and also translated astrologers, depending on the language and translation. It's a bit of a mystery how we get the number 3, probably because of the gifts. and how we assume that they were kings, as is illustrated in this morning's opening hymn and on this beautiful banner. But magi is derived from magic, and magic is not viewed favorably in the New Testament. And so just for fun, I decided to read Martin Luther's sermon written in 1522 on the Epiphany. Clearly, I need to get out more. But Martin Luther refers to these men as doing the work of the devil most of the time, but on this one occasion, in searching for the Christ child, they are forgiven their evil ways and redeemed somehow. Now, astrology then, as it is today, is generally perceived by two camps of people: those who read the papers, horoscopes for entertainment, but generally dismiss it as nothing but entertainment, and those that study it in great depth, incorporating ancient practices, taking into account rising signs and moon signs, 12 houses of signs that influence those other signs. I should know, I have good friends who have sent me small books on what's called my chart, and I've enjoyed learning about it. And I've also enjoyed tarot cards. I've also enjoyed all kinds of other things dismissed by Orthodox teachers. I enjoy the I Ching, an ancient Chinese practice of throwing coins. I think interpreting dreams is of great value. And I enjoy the practice of yoga, which has become a favorite. But in all my enjoyment of all of these things is one common denominator. That is the search for something outside of myself. What makes some of us, like the Magi, seek in hope of finding? Why is it that some of us find ourselves searching, like astrologers, in darkness for light, while others are content to accept the current state? Those who accept perhaps their own state of being discontent as part of life, and they place that to the side? But there are those of us who search. We follow stars literally or metaphorically, always looking for new avenues, finding ourselves standing in the self-help section of the bookstore, the how-to books, the guide to the better this, to the happier that, to the more confidence, more self-realization, heightened states of consciousness, all promising either overtly or subtly a happier life, a more fulfilled life. Now, my assumption is that if you're here today or on any given Sunday, that you are one of those people who have searched, are searching, and will search again. Now, I make that assumption because I wouldn't know how to preach any other way. God comes down in the form of a baby who takes on flesh and blood with us. And everyone is invited into the story. That's the summary of the Christmas Eve sermon. And now, roughly 2 weeks later, we search the heavens and the stars for the way that leads us to that baby, this embodiment of God's life, God's light and love, God's love in flesh and blood, the seekers, those who search, those who ponder and study are led here today. And so my New Year hope is that you and I begin today to accept our own search as the Magi searched 2,000 years ago, and to place Jesus Christ as the answer to the very thing you have been longing for, the thing you search for. Now, theoretically, we've done this once and for all at our baptism, but as life and time would have it, we find ourselves searching and longing and are called to follow a star each year, each day, multiple times a day. I remember driving my children crazy when they were young, as I would enforce a set period of time that we would call quiet time. No TV, no technology. And they would come to me and they'd say, I'm bored. And I would reply by saying, oh, good. Because I knew that their boredom would lead them to doing something creative. Now, the adult version of that is not much different, whether we call it boredom or dissatisfaction. As your pastor, if you come to me and tell me that you're missing something in your life, discontent or empty in some way, I might say out loud without thinking, oh, good. Because I know that that means that in some way you can begin through the emptiness, a beautiful search for more, like the magi who follow a star in darkness, a search, hungry for Jesus. Now we fill up our longing, that longing with things that don't and can't possibly fulfill us for a lifetime. We fool ourselves into thinking that they can. We falsely place as the center of our life, give all of our energy and attention to things other than God because we're culturally accustomed to that. We fill up our longing not only with the things that we already know are false idols, such as money and greed and power, like the bad guy in our story, Herod, who manipulates and feels threatened and hides his motivation, but there are other ways that distract us in our search for meaning, for connection. We place at the center of our lives exercise, eating well, family, falling in love, working hard, reading, studying, learning, anything that takes us away from placing the grace of God as the center of our lives will eventually fade away, will eventually fail us. I know that that's really hard to hear, and it's even harder to experience. But it's also a wonderful place to begin. And it's where we begin today. Our epiphany begins in darkness, searching, following a light that eventually leads us to our ultimate dependency on God and God alone through Jesus Christ. The star in Scripture, that's an inaccurate translation and it's misleading. We get the false impression that it stays in the sky leading the magi like an aviation system or a navigation system in our car. But the star goes away and it appears in Bethlehem, which means it's gone missing for some time. And on their journey, they kept searching in the dark. And light appeared, further indicating it was gifted to them. Their journey was not guided by their own doing, but by following, even in the dark, God's doing. I remember watching The Wizard of Oz with my kids, and I remember observing my kids' distaste with that moment where Glinda, the good witch, admits to Dorothy that she's always had the power to return home. That her ability has been with her in those shoes that have been gifted to her, the shoes she never did anything to deserve, the shoes she happened upon. Dorothy had been given everything she needed to return home. Everything you need in your search has been given to you already by God. It's all right here. And nothing you do, no road, no book, no external thing, no sermon will awaken you to it. You will be awakened to your own epiphanies as you follow God-given stars that fall and arise again, bringing you closer to God and Jesus Christ. Richard Rohr, Franciscan priest, author, theologian, has this to say about our searching. We do not find our own center. It finds us. Our own mind will not be able to figure it out. We do not think ourselves into new ways of living. We live ourselves into new ways of thinking. End quote. We live ourselves into new ways of thinking. Our restless searching, our longing, our long journeys take a rest in God. We rest in God, in starlight and in darkness. Our entire being and life rests in God. Now, I want to tell you a story. This is what makes the sermon extra long, and I think it's well worth telling. It's an illustration. I'm hoping you'll be able to read between the lines of what I just preached and how the story brings it to life. It's a story based on The Fourth Wise Man, which is a story by Henry Van Dyke, and it's retold by Susan Summers, and this is a summary of that story. You've all heard by now the story of the three wise men who traveled to meet the baby Jesus, but you did not know that there was a fourth wise man. Many people don't know about this man. And his name was Artaban. He lived high in the mountains of Persia, atop a beautiful green mountain in a lovely house surrounded by flowers and streams and countless singing birds. And Artaban had three very close friends, those three wise men we hear about so often. And he and his friends studied the stars in the sky, and one night they discovered a star they had never seen before. It was brighter and larger than that they had ever seen, and they knew it meant the birth of a great teacher had taken place. They knew they must go find this baby, the King of Kings, and bring him gifts. So they all went home to pack, and they planned to meet at the Temple of the Seven Spheres. So Artaban quickly sold his beautiful house and his many gardens, and he bought three jewels to give to the newborn child, a sapphire, a ruby, and a pearl. And that night before he left, he said goodbye to his father, knowing he would probably never see him again. And he awoke in the morning before the birds. He got so excited to find this baby. He got on his favorite horse named Vazda because he knew this horse was strong and could travel long distances. He traveled a long time, 10 days and 10 nights, waking each morning before the sun rose and rode well until after sunset. And he would sleep each night under the bright new star. And at last, in the last 3 hours, in three more hours, he would be at the Temple of the Seven Spheres in Babylon, where he was to meet his friends. But as he rode along on his horse, he saw a dark object on the road. And as he got closer, he realized it was a man lying in the road, and the man was dying. And Artaban knew that if he helped this man, he would be too late to greet his friends. He gave the man some water, and he waited. Hour by hour, he gave the man a little more water. Slowly, the man got stronger. He was able to eat some. Eventually, Artaban gave all of his food and his healing herbs to this man. And the man was so grateful to Artaban. "May the Lord bless you and bring you peace, Artaban," he said. So Artaban quickly got back on his horse, and he rushed on to meet his friends. And when he got to the Temple of the Seven Spheres, he was alone. His friends were not there. He found there a note that said they could wait no longer and had gone on without him and hoped to meet him in Bethlehem of Judea. Now Artaban knew that he had to go on by himself, but that he had given all of his food and water away, and his horse was now very tired. So he took his beautiful sapphire and his favorite horse, Vazda, and he sold them for food, water, and for camels for his long journey across the dry desert. And as he traveled many, many long nights and days, he came upon a village. He hoped that he would finally meet his king and finally give him the gift of now just a ruby and a pearl. He came upon a village, and the village looked deserted. There were no people anywhere. But coming from the open door of a small cottage, he heard the sound of a soft voice quietly singing. And Artaban was curious, so he entered the house, and he found a young woman rocking her baby clutched tightly to her chest and singing softly. The woman was full of fear and explained to Artaban of an order from the evil King Herod, who had ordered the soldiers to kill all the babies in the land. And just as she was explaining, there was a commotion outside, and soldiers came to the door ready to take her baby. But Artaban went to the door to stop them from coming in. He looked at the soldier, held out the ruby in his hand while he spoke, "There's no one here. I'm alone. Now take this and be gone." And the greedy soldier grabbed the shimmering ruby and left, motioning for the other soldiers to come. And the woman was so grateful to Artaban for saving her baby. "May the Lord bless you and keep you," she said. "May he shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord give you peace now and always, Artaban." Artaban started back on his journey, but by now, Artaban was so late, he could no longer see the star that was to lead him to his king. He didn't know which way to go, so he went to an old, wise rabbi for help. "My son," said the rabbi, "our scriptures told us that the King of Kings would be despised and rejected by men. He will not be found in a palace or among the rich and the powerful. If you seek him, look among the poor and the lowly, the sorrowful and the sick." Years passed. Artaban traveled faithfully on, searching among the poor. And wherever he went, he fed the hungry, he gave clothes to the naked, he helped heal the sick, and he visited those in prison. 33 years passed. But Artaban, faithful as ever, would from time to time take out his last gift of the glowing pearl, and he would stare at it and wonder if he would ever meet his king and finally give him his gift. And finally, Artaban reached the city of Jerusalem during the Feast of Passover, and the city was filled with people, but there was a strange feeling in the air. And a crowd of people were gathered by a gate, and Artaban stopped a stranger and asked what was going on. "Haven't you heard?" asked the man. "There's going to be a crucifixion. A man called Jesus of Nazareth. They say he's done many great things, but the elders say he must be killed because he calls himself the Son of God." And that's when Artaban knew this must be his king, the one he had been searching for all these years. And he hoped that if he offered his pearl to Pontius Pilate, maybe he could save his king's life. So he rushed towards the gate, but just as he got to the entrance, a troop of soldiers came dragging a young girl with torn clothes and disheveled hair, and he stopped, and the girl ran to Artaban, threw herself at his feet. "Have pity on me," she said. "My father has died and had many debts. They plan to sell me as a slave to pay for his debts." She begged Artaban to help her. Artaban stared at the girl, and for the third time, he had to choose between keeping his jewel, his gift for his king, or giving it to a fellow human being in need. He took the pearl from its pouch, he placed it in the girl's hand, and just as the girl was to thank him, the sky drew black and tremors ran through the street. Houses rocked, stones fell, crashed into the street. The soldiers fell in terror. The earth gave one final shudder, and then in stillness and in the distance,
Artaban heard a voice. Peace be with you, Artaban. When I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was in distress, you comforted me. As often as you did these things for the least of my children, you did them for me. A calm radiance lit up Artaban's face, and a long last sigh of relief left his lips. His journey had ended, and at last he had found his king. Artaban had always been closer to his king than he knew, just as we are closer to Jesus than we know. We don't have to search very far to love one another, and in losing ourselves, find him. Amen. Now we bring our prayers, our joys, and our concerns to the people of St. Luke, to share in community, and to God. Continued prayers for Patrick and Wendy Quick as Patrick continues at home going through dialysis. Prayers of healing for Lois Goodall and for Ellie Zengler. Other prayers? Then please join me in prayer and respond to Lord in your mercy by saying, Lord, hear our prayer. Holy God, we offer these prayers in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, asking for you to hear our prayer. We pray for the church that in times of not knowing where our future lies, you will lead us towards only one light and one love. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the world that whenever trials may befall us, you will provide leadership that reflects your love, leadership that knows wisdom over fear, generosity over shame, hospitality over greed. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those who are waiting in darkness with no apparent star to find, victims of floods, hurricanes, disasters, those who are in pain and live in fear, help them to find the hope they need. We pray for the healing and the resurrection of lives that are senselessly brought to an end. In holy remembrance of the Holy Cross, may you give to them and all those affected the holy light in the darkness they sit. Lord, in your mercy. We pray that the lowly may be raised up and that guidance and mercy may fall on us all, refugees all over the world who flee in fear and in courage. Bring them peace and hold them in your giving arms as we embrace those we are called to embrace. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the sick of the parish, those mentioned out loud this morning, those unmentioned but carried quietly in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those celebrating this week new births, old births, anniversaries, for epiphanies, the aha moments that lead us closer to you. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those who have died, nephews and aunts, mothers and fathers, sons and daughters, sisters and brothers, those we miss, that they would draw near to you, O God, and that you would draw near to them. We honor the gifts they continue to be to us in the resurrected life each day. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, we offer these prayers in hope that is born from being your people who seek to open ourselves up to your love, a people who yearn to feel closer to your Son, the one we seek, the one given, the one we fall on bended knee praying the prayer he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven. Give us this day. But deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us share now our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings.
Thank you.
Gracious God, accept these gifts humbly, turn them into light that they may provide light for those who sit in darkness. Amen. You may be seated. Friends, this is God's table. This is not my table, not yours, no man's. Everyone is welcome to this table. Those that are searching, your searching begins here, ends here, and is here. Please come. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. God of creation, you are before all things, you are beyond all things. You have made yourself known in the infinite stars, infinite in wisdom, light, and in darkness. You have made yourself known to us. You are the holy center of our lives. God, we seek your love, we search your light, and Jesus of Nazareth, born in Bethlehem, in compassion for the outcast, forgiveness for the fallen, hope for the poor and the hungry, in his life poured out for others, you have made yourself known in his death, his resurrection, and in his return. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray that you pour your Spirit out upon us as we join our voices and our praises with countless men and women before us, disciples and apostles, saints and martyrs, that we may know Christ in the breaking of this bread. We join in thanksgiving with praise to you, eternal God and Jesus Christ, who lives among us, and the Holy Spirit, who binds us all together in love. Amen. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread and, after giving thanks, broke it, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant, poured out in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim his death until his return. Come now, for all things are ready for all people. Join us in singing. Come to the table of grace for you, Rose. The cup of life for you, Bill. Please join me in prayer. God of life, God of epiphanies, your light shines throughout the world. We have responded to your invitation to join in the banquet. We have eaten, we have drunk, we have tasted your sweet goodness. May the light and love we find in this meal together lift up our hearts. May we carry your light to the world around us, responding to your justice and carrying your love to all people, to all people. May we live out your justice called love wherever we go. Amen. Now that we've shared in the love and the body and blood of Christ, may we now turn to our neighbor to share the peace of Christ. The peace of Christ be with you all. What's going on? Peace be with you. You all right? Yeah. You don't have your hearing. Oh, you do? Oh, good. Good. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. You're coordinated. Did you guys go to the closet together? Did you say, let's match? Peace be with you. Peace be with you. It's like a incense. Yeah. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. You did? You haven't. Okay. You're right. All right. Yeah. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Did someone bring you communion?
No, that's fine.
Oh, Lily, I'm so sorry. Can I bring it to you now? No? This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Don't let anyone put it out, I'm gonna let it shine. Won't let anyone put it out, I'm gonna let it shine. Won't let anyone blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it, come on, get him out. This little light of mine, come on, join me, yeah. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Come on, don't be shy, take him out. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Shine it all around the world, I'm gonna let it shine. Shine it all around the world, I'm gonna let it shine. Shine it all around the world, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it. Last time, nice and loud. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Receive now the benediction. As you go from this place shining brightly, may you bring your light out into the world. Bring it to those who sit in darkness. If you sit in darkness, remember that God's light shines on you even brighter. And all the people said, Amen. Amen.